EE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. 19 students and two teachers died in the 2022 Uvalde school shooting. A Justice Department report finds a series of cascading failures in the police response, but stops short of recommending criminal charges. Reporter Chris Fox.
U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland saying the report concluded that had law enforcement agencies followed generally accepted practices in an active shooter situation, lives would have been saved.
As a consequence of failed leadership, training, and policies, injured and scared students and teachers remain trapped with the subject in the classrooms.
Kimberly Rubio still waiting for justice for the death of her daughter, Lexi.
Do right by the victims and survivors of Robb Elementary, terminations, criminal prosecution.
Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
Congress passes and sends to President Biden a funding bill to keep the government running through early March. But CBS's Scott McFarland reports.
This is like the third of a trilogy of movies. This happened on September 30th. It happened again in November, and it's happening again now. They just passed short-term deals to extend the time frame in which they can negotiate how much to spend on government in 2024.
The winter storms gripping much of the nation are blamed for at least 60 deaths. More from CBS's Carter Evans.
In Copenhagen, New York, homes and cars are now buried in up to 6 feet of snow. In nearby Rochester, authorities are investigating an American Airlines plane that slid off the runway. Meanwhile, a massive ice jam along the Kankakee River in Wilmington, Illinois, is pushing closer to homes. And in Indianapolis, EMS workers are responding to four times as many cold weather emergencies as they did this time last year.
We've had people so cold that they needed resuscitation.
That's Indiana Emergency Medical Services Director Mark Liao.
3, 2, 1, ignition, engine full power, and liftoff.
Four astronauts, including the first from Turkey, are on their way to the International Space Station after launching from Kennedy Space Center. The SpaceX Crew Dragon should reach their destination early Saturday. Israel's prime minister has a message for the U.S., CBS's Robert Berger in Jerusalem.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he's told the U.S. that Israel opposes a Palestinian state in any post-war scenario. He said history shows that whenever Israel pulls out of territory, terrorists move in.
New technology has made it possible to map the ocean floor in 3D. And it turns out the largest deep sea coral reef to date stretches some 310 miles from Florida to South Carolina. Walmart raises starting pay and redesigns bonuses for store managers. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Get your tickets now for MJ the Illusion. It's not...
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Reproductive rights will be the topic when Vice President Kamala Harris visits West Bend on Monday. That's according to a release put out by the White House on Thursday. Her remarks come on the 51st anniversary of the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court ruling that legalized abortion. 1 in 10 teenagers in Wisconsin tried to commit suicide last year. Linda Hall is with the Wisconsin Office for Children's Mental Health. She says teens are under a lot of pressure.
Performing well in high school, getting prepared to go to college. They're concerned about climate change, the proliferation of gun violence, and political divisiveness.
Hall says that the good news is that more than 300 schools around Wisconsin have mental health programs that are led by students. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Giannis out for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports, the Bucks in Cleveland. And before the game, it was decided Giannis Antetokounmpo would sit out due to a bruised and sore right shoulder. Milwaukee got clobbered by the Cavaliers, 135-95. Head coach Adrian Griffin after the loss.
I didn't think we didn't execute on the offensive end. You know, it's a very, very good defensive team. And when you play a team like this on the road, you know, you come in here, you got to execute.
The Bucks are in Detroit on Saturday. The Golden State Warriors mourning the loss. loss of assistant coach Dejlon Milojevic, who suffered a massive heart attack during a team dinner. Milojevic, just 46 years old. NFL, Green Bay plays the 49ers Saturday night at Levi's Stadium. Now, the Packers lost in the playoffs to San Fran four times. While Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback, how about Jordan Love?
You know, it's a great challenge for us. They're a really good defense. They got a really good offense as well, so they're a great team all around. We definitely got a great challenge ahead of us, and we look forward to it.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some snow showers around tonight, cloudy and breezy, wind chills to 15 below, a low of 1 below. And mostly cloudy for tomorrow, high near 10 above. Sun's back into Saturday, high in the low teens, upper teens as we look into Sunday, 30s with some snow late Monday. Currently, we're at 8.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Hidney Cutter, baby.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events, Haley, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Little Moments Count. Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, let's get Chris on. And we have a guest, Chris Hoplin, and we're going to discuss and jump right into this, Haley. You know, what Little Moments Count and also the group Reach Out and Read Minnesota's program that Chris is the executive director on. And I want to talk to her and thank her for coming on to Native Roots Radio. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
This is great. And we, I just have to say this before we get going. We've loved our partnership with Little Moments Count, and one of the reasons is great guests like yourself that are on, and I really appreciate you coming on, and I want to get our audience familiar with you, and I want to ask you if you can share with us your journey and how you became involved with early childhood development, and then eventually leading to your becoming executive director of Reach Out and Read Minnesota.
Yeah. My journey with early childhood development really started with Reach Out and Read Minnesota. Prior to that, I had done work in the nonprofit space, but mostly with older youth. It was an interesting journey because I started with Reach Out and Read shortly after I had my first daughter. So this early childhood development sort of coincided with my own parenting journey, which has been really interesting. And I've been here 10 years and it's fascinating because all the time we learn new things about early childhood brain development and all of the amazing things happening in kids from zero to from birth to five. And so it's just been a real learning journey for me.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that we kind of realize and talk about here, especially when we're talking with educators of young people or our Native young people, is how important it is to be read to know what books are about at a very, very early age. And then by the title of your organization, Reach Out and Read, it says it all. Tell us a little bit about how you get the word out there.
Yeah, so we partner with currently, I think we're at about 300 clinics and health centers around the state. And what happens at these programs is that a child comes in and every time they go to the doctor for their well child visit, from the time they're born until the time they go to school, they're presented with a brand new book, culturally and developmentally appropriate book. And then the medical providers, whether they be doctors, nurses, they are using that book and talking about the importance of talking and reading and singing together from birth and why that's so important to early brain development. So we're really getting our message out through these trusted medical providers all over Minnesota.
Yeah, and maybe you can elaborate a little bit on what I said about how important it is and how you believe early childhood literacy contributes to really a child's overall development, but also success later in life, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's so much research out there that we rely on that shows that kids that have that that relationship with their caregiver, their parent, their loved one, where they are being read to and talked to and told stories to and sang with, that they have language skills that are greater. And that really helps them even as they enter school. Obviously, they have enter school more ready. It helps them with reading, but it, unsurprisingly to some people, it actually even helps them with things like math skills. But we also focus a lot on social emotional learning too. So it's not just about school readiness, right? It's about their social emotional skills and that journey. And we know that the sharing of books and stories together really helps create that bond between a child and the caregivers in their life. And that's really just as important as they grow up, as they have this, you know, really rapid early brain development, is for them to be, you know, to have social emotional connections.
You know, you're translating a book in Ojibwe, and I know one of the things, both of my godchildren are Hispanic, and their mother teaches them, the father speaks fluent Spanish, but also English, and it was crazy because they did not say anything until they were a lot older, because all those things were connecting in their brain because they had two languages going on. And I see that you're also translating some books into Ojibwe. Can you speak a little bit on that? Because that's a crazy phenomenon that I really never knew about when it came to speaking more than one language.
Yeah, and it's been really, really neat to to see the sort of resurgence of Ojibwe speakers and at White Earth specifically, which was the White Earth community that actually had requested this. We have a few books in Ojibwe, but we are always working on getting more bilingual books into Ojibwe. And but in this case, we had some funding, and so we worked with Nailetta Belgard, who's an Ojibwe language arts teacher at Leech Lake Tribal College. In fact, she's the head of the humanities department there, and we were fortunate to be able to consult with her. And they specifically wanted a simple baby book in Ojibwe. And when I say baby book, these are books that we give out from like birth to two. And what babies like is to look at other babies. And so it's called My Day. And it's this beautiful book with this diverse set of babies doing what things babies do during the day, like eating and playing. And she helped us translate that book. And then we had a vendor that did a print of the book for us. And it was very cool because we worked with our Reach Out and Read colleagues in Wisconsin who also have Ojibwe speakers. And so we were able to have this print run books are being given out in Wisconsin and here. And what's really cool is that we have this vendor that is offering them at a low price point. So we're also working with childcare centers and the school district and other places that may want to distribute this book in Ojibwe. So it really kind of expands our reach. We've been excited. We're hoping to do more of that work.
Well, it sounds like it's a big, big impact on the communities that you're involved with, and having things like that and having just books like that that look like the people reading them and connecting that way in a good way. I think that's what it's all about. And that's what we've really heard lessons from Little Moments Count and all the great guests that they've gotten for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that you've had other guests talk about that phenomenon of the windows and mirrors And for us, as we're working with Indigenous publishers and with Native authors and illustrators and getting these books more into circulation, I mean, that's what we think about, right? We want our Native families and our Native children to be able to have the mirrors where they see themselves and their stories and their families and their language in the books that we're giving out. And then we also are working on distributing books by Native authors and illustrators to communities that aren't necessarily Native, because it's important for them to have the, you know, the window to see into and learn about different communities as well. And so when we do initiatives like this, it's always for and requested by our Native communities, but it actually, it's getting the reach out on a wider scale.
Yeah, and we can talk a little bit more about that in the next segment, because I think that's a really also great byproduct of what you're doing, is you're supporting Native artists and Native writers and things like that. So I'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. Hey, we're with Chris Hopland, Executive Director of Reach Out and Read. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Ho-wa.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID-19. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. That's vaccines.gov.
As we pack away the ornaments and bid farewell to the holiday season, it's time to unwrap the gift that keeps on giving, getting protected by a COVID-19 vaccination. This is your chance to make a difference, especially as our Native communities face higher COVID numbers. Those higher numbers underscore the need for collective action. So answer the call and get vaccinated. The latest vaccines are not just authorized, but they're proven effective against the current variants. This is extra protection, even if you've already had previous vaccines, since previous vaccines will eventually wear off. Plus, the new shots are FDA approved for ages 6 months and up. A COVID vaccine is not just a shot. It's a pledge to safeguard the wisdom and stories handed down by our elders. So join the movement, get vaccinated, and make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Little Moments Count. Native Roots Radio is excited to welcome monthly guests to talk about the role that they play in early childhood development and creating bright futures in strong communities. And you can learn more at littlemomentscount.org.
Hey, thanks, Haley. Hey, we're with Chris Hopland, and she is our guest today, and she's Executive Director of Reach Out and Read, Minnesota's Program Director, and we're really excited to touch base and talk a little bit about her program and also what she's doing for, you know, our young ones, but also it was a byproduct we kind of left with, Chris, and you touched on that, how exciting and important it is to reach out to our Native authors and artists. And that's been probably a good experience for you, right?
Yeah, it really has. We were fortunate a few years ago. We were given a grant by the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community which allowed us to actually work with Birch Bark Books here in Minneapolis, Indigenous publishing company, and their staff. And their staff has helped us over the past few years curate a beautiful collection of books that are you know, reflective of and featuring Native characters, authors, illustrators. And these books, again, are for really the youngest kids up to, you know, age 5 and 6 when they start going to school. And so that's been great. And then we've been just in the past 18 months expanding and learning about new Indigenous publishers. So we've been working with one's called Black Bears and Blueberries, and another is called Happy Dancing Turtle. And that's, again, to really expand our collection of books that we're able to offer that, again, are reflective of our Native communities around the state, and for others to learn about those communities as well, and really featuring Native authors, Native illustrators, and stories.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, kind of switching gears here, could you share some insights of what the community-based participatory research project at White Earth is, and how such projects contribute to creating more community center outreach and READ programs?
Yeah, that was a great experience. We had a grant. We worked with White Earth Health Center and the staff there and the doctors there, as well as Mayo Clinic and the American Academy of Pediatrics. And what this project was focused on at White Earth was it was community-based participation. So it's really understanding the community and what they want. And what we were focused on is a reach out and read program that was set up to support cultural pride reinforcement there. And kind of what does that look like besides just giving out some great books? What else would that look like? And what did the community want to see? And so, of course, that helped us with the book selection. That was actually kind of what started that Ojibwe translation project that we did. But we also did English Ojibwe posters. We did bookmarks that were specific to White Earth. We did, you know, all kinds of literacy materials. And we also ended up creating a website that featured Ojibwe and folks from White Earth doing storytelling, poetry reading, songs in Ojibwe, and reading of books and sharing of books together. And this was actually partly, you know, during sort of the height of COVID. So it was this additional challenge of how could we do this, not necessarily in person, but we want something for kids to be able and families to be able to enjoy together. And then White Earth Health Center helped us distribute that throughout the community. So it was a really cool project. And you know, I think other Native communities and health centers are hoping to sort of replicate that and reinforce that cultural pride in their own specific communities too.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that too. As being director of Reach Out and Read Minnesota, are you going to be mirroring this to any other communities? That's funny you bring that up. I was going to ask you, do you guys have the capacity to do that, or are you more of a mentor to other people doing that?
Right now, well, I mean, both. You know, we definitely hope to have the capacity to do that. But one exciting thing is that we are part of a whole national network around the country. And so when we have the opportunity to do something like this, then other communities around the country can learn from us. And there's a lot of sort of takeaways from this project that I think can be implemented in other Native communities all over that are doing Reach Out and Read. And there are many of them in different parts of the country.
Oh, okay. So this is a national organization that you are executive director here in Minnesota. Well, that's awesome. I think I probably read that, but I have a good memory, but it's short. I should have possibly read more when I was younger. No, just kidding. thanks, Haley, for laughing. Oh, yep. Chrissy laughed too. Thanks. Haley, yep. Do you have anything to add? I have a few more questions, but do you have anything to add?
Well, just talking about like Indigenous children's book, two come to mind quickly for me. I know Charisse's big voice, Charisse Davis is Ho-Chunk. She has that book of hers, A Native Kid Becomes a Congresswoman. And then also Rhea Thundercloud's book, Finding My Dance. Those are two Ho-Chunk authors. Do any other Indigenous books and titles come to mind for you, Chris?
That is a great question. And thanks for the suggestions. I am not on the book purchasing side of things here at Reach Out and Read, so I am not super familiar. I wish I was. I wish I had the opportunity to be out at the clinics. And I'm over here trying to do the fundraising and the like. But I will add that to the list. And I would say for anyone listening, we're always looking for more titles, more resources. So if people have suggestions, we would love to have suggestions from the community on additional titles. We're always on the lookout for new resources and new books.
Yeah, that was a good question, Haley, especially the, Haley and I are Ho-Chunk. That's why we bring everything everything circles around the people with the big sacred voice, and that's Ho-Chunk. And, well, you all probably already have. I think the lieutenant governor had a child's book out, too, a few years ago about her rise to Peggy Flanagan. So I'm sure you've heard of that, but that's a good question, yeah. Haley. Thank you. So let's ask, what is, in your opinion, what role does storytelling play in the development of young minds, and how does reach out and reach leverage, and that's a good word, leverage this aspect in its programming?
Yeah, that is a great question. Thanks for asking that, because I think sometimes people see read in our name, and I always have to sort of push back and say, of course, reading's in our name. Of course, we love books. But what we're really about and what we really talk about a lot and our medical providers in the community talk about a lot is the idea of sharing a story or sharing a book together, because there's a lot of reasons why people might not read a book. And maybe it's as simple as they don't have a book to read in their language. But we know from our Native communities that storytelling is so important and such an amazing tradition, and we always really want to support that. And what we say is, like, a lot of the reasons why reading is good for early brain development and good for kids is the same reason that storytelling is good for kids, right? So it helps with their language skills, hearing stories that are passed down to them. It helps create those social emotional bonds with their caregivers and their family members. It helps enforce cultural pride. It helps their memory, right? Just like a book does. And it helps their imagination too, which is one of the reasons why books are so important. It helps them sort of think outside of themselves than their sort of day-to-day. So I think it just really goes hand in hand with our mission, right? Which is, of course, about books and of course about reading, but really about creating those connections within their families and communities. And so I'm really glad you brought that up, because it's really all about sharing stories together.
Wow, it really, really is. And, you know, looking ahead, what are your goals and aspirations for Reach Out and Read Minnesota? And how can individuals and communities get involved in supporting your vision?
We are always every day thinking about serving more communities, more families, more kids, right? So that's our goal, is we want to be everywhere in the state, serving every child and every family in the state. But we also, as I mentioned earlier, are really focused on diverse and inclusive books and literature and resources for families. And so this is sort of at the forefront of what we do. So like I said, we'd welcome any suggestions or thoughts if people want to kind of learn more about us or what we do, to visit our website. And there's definitely ways that they can get in touch with us on there with ideas. And of course, as a nonprofit, we accept donations. We also have a very robust used book program. And so we're always accepting donations of used books that go out back out into the community.
Oh, that's awesome. And I don't know, have we mentioned how to get a hold of you? Do we have a website and a Facebook that you could shout out to our listening audience?
Absolutely. So our website is Reach Out and Read MN. So pretty straightforward. Reach Out and Read MN.org. And from there, you'll find our Facebook, which is also Reach Out and Read MN, our Instagram, LinkedIn. And I'd really encourage people to sign up for our newsletter. We send a newsletter out once in a while. And in that newsletter, we highlight some of the things that I was able to talk about today. So it's just a good way to kind of stay up to date with what we're doing, both in our Native communities and just in general around Minnesota.
Well, I just want to say a big peeny gigi thank you. Always informative, and really, you did not disappoint us. Really great interview, and peeny gigi for helping our young ones, because they are the future. And literacy and knowing who you are is really, really important. And thank you so much for your work.
Yes, thanks to both of you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back, Haley, after this short break, huh?
With Bob Blake from Red Lake, owner of Solar Bear.
I knew you wanted to say that. Hey, yes. We'll be right back. Ho-wa.
Be my wing.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
CBS News Brief. The Justice Department issues a scathing report on the Uvalde, Texas mass school shooting. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
Failures in leadership, in tactics, in communications, in training, and in preparedness.
The city of Uvalde says it has already implemented changes. The government won't start shutting down tomorrow once President Biden signs a short-term bill sent to him by Congress. CBS's Nicole Killian says more conservative GOP members opposed
it. Have made clear that they really want to see some action on the border, so there was this late push to try to get that border amendment attached. In the end, Speaker Johnson didn't acquiesce, and so they did just vote on a clean up or down vote.
Another winter storm hits the Midwest and then the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast. WREG-TV's Quamitra Wilborn in Memphis.
They have a lot of compacted snow still on these roadways. However, when you have the rain and the freezing, it's now frozen on top. So you have a lot of icy patches, which makes it completely unsafe.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans in the state assembly passed a bill Thursday to let parents decide what pronouns a child uses in school and whether or not they should learn controversial subjects. The Parental Bill of Rights would allow parents to opt their children out of any lessons about gender, sexual orientation, race, or other deemed controversial subjects. Democrats say the bill disrupts school protocols and is nothing more than censorship. If it makes it to Governor Evers' desk, he will almost certainly veto it. More people than ever have a job in Wisconsin. State officials are out with their final numbers for December. The Department of Workforce Development says Wisconsin added more than 2,200 jobs in December. The jobless rate is near record low, 3.3%. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going, baby.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any light snow coming to an end? We'll see cloudy skies. Our low near zero, but the wind chill between 15 and 20 below, thanks to a little bit of a breeze in that northwest wind. Some flurries on Friday, mostly cloudy skies. Highs near the 10-degree mark. Currently 8 degrees.
Max Inc. Radio invites you to a live concert each week over the radio. It's Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Saturday night. It's a full hour of live music and in-depth interviews with the artists. Listen across Civic Media every Saturday at 9 p.m. and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
I am awake. Hey, we're here with Bob Blake from Red Lake. I always have to say that one time during the show, but we're here with Robert Blake, owner of Solar Bear and Native Sun, the nonprofit leg of Solar Bear. And we're here to talk about what's happening all over Turtle Island in a good way for us Native Americans, but also just in energy and what people are doing right now. And we're just excited, and I've learned so much. And it's great to have you on, as always, Bob. Welcome.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Robert. It's great to be on. There's so many good things happening in the solar energy field, or actually just renewable energy, climate justice, the Biden administration. I'm sorry, Robert, I have to say it, because, you know, we're starting the campaign season, right? And Solar Bear is not trying to do that. What I just want to point out, all the great things that are happening because of the Biden administration, the biggest investment in climate history, and a lot of great projects are happening across the country. Manufacturing, Robert, is... nonprofits and other agencies, government agencies, are getting funded all across the country to mobilize their communities to, you know, really start preparing our citizenry for, you know, for climate change. And so I just want to point that out, because I see all the debates on TV right now, and the caucus just happened in Iowa, and you know, it just, I see all these things happening, and I just want to point that out, because I don't know exactly, Robert, if that investment by the federal government, would it have sparked all these millions and millions of dollars, billions of dollars from the private sector, right?
Right.
And so I just think that right now is just I've never seen this. And so I'm just super excited for where this is heading, and all the jobs that it's creating for the American people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, when we talk about the Iowa caucus, too, I always want to remind everyone that, you know, keep your head up. Don't look at these polls, and help people register. And we outnumber them.
Yeah. Great point, Robert. And let's also remember, too, like, I mean, I think it was like I saw a statistic like 14% of the Republican electoral got to the polls of anyways. So, I mean, they're making a big deal out of like 1,000 people that got to the polls anyways to vote. So I don't think it's really necessarily a reflection on the entire state of Iowa that actually got to the polls and voted. So I wouldn't put too much into this, because I see the orange one taking a victory lap. Like, he just won, like, you know, the Olympics or something. I don't know. Right. But, like, that's really only, like, 1,000 people, buddy. So, I mean, it's not just 1,000 people. I'm sorry. I don't know. Solar Bear does not know the exact numbers. But I'm just saying, in general, like, there was, like, the statistic-wise, like, there wasn't a lot of folks that got to the polls because, you know, we've got bad weather. Why do we have bad weather? Climate change, you know what I mean? And the fact that our jet stream is off right now. So people that are sitting there saying, oh, it's been so cold, and, you know, this isn't climate change. No, this is exactly why this is climate change, because the jet stream is off, because all of the northern air is being brought down to the United States right now. And so that's why, you know, that's why we need to continue to vote climate champions in. And I'm sorry, my vote is going for Biden. Solar Bear said it. That's who he's supporting. And that's who I will be voting for, because of the tremendous investments and the jobs that he's creating right here in our country.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think once it gets to whether it's Trump and Biden, those things will be shook out. And again, we outnumber them. I don't believe these polls. I don't believe anything about Robert Kennedy Jr., yeah, who's like a total bummer to have that name from his father. You know, he's he was always an anti-vaxxer before this whole thing came up. And he was also, you know, he's somebody that morally would you really want in there, too? And when I say that, it's like, the guy's had six affairs, you know, three marriages, things like that, that just don't jive, you know, that somebody that morally you'd want in there, you know, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. And I think the less we talk about RFK Jr., period, the better. So I'm going to zip it.
Well, that reminds me of an old saying, you know, there's nobody more sanctimonious than the reformed reprobate. And that reminds me of like Robert Kennedy, right? Like him, you know, just pointing the finger at everyone saying, hey, you know. But you're right. You know, I think the less that we give these individuals that are, you know, the naysayers, the doomsayers, you know, right. What I mean? Like, I just feel like they're going to fall to the wayside. You know, I'm putting my money on the Biden-Harris administration. They've proven what they can do. And they're going to continue to do it. And that's what I would like, you know, everyone to know and understand is that, you know, the proof is in the pudding. There's no doubt that you can't deny all the jobs, you know, everything that has been created, you know, and it's like this all the time. It seems like the Democrats come in, they fix up everything, they correct everything. And then the Republicans come in because they get the headwinds of all the good things that the Democrats get.
Yeah.
And you know, then they take the victory lap. You know what I mean? But Rod, just real quickly, and I know we're going to get to the solar news real quick, but I just also want to say too, everyone, I think this is a really important time because I don't think people realize, you know, the importance of democracy right now in the world.
Right.
And what's happening on a geopolitical level with the way that, you know, Russia is strategically positioning themselves, what's happening in the Middle East, and then the way China is threatening over in the Pacific.
Yeah. Right?
And so, you know, people, this is no joke.
Right.
This is no joke. We need to be able to have our best and brightest, you know, negotiating on the world stage right now, because this isn't just about, you know, the Americans and them having to pay, you know, $2.99 for a double cheeseburger instead of $2.49. I mean, this is our, you know, our bitch right now.
Well, let's back up a second too, and I know we'll get into solar. We're going to have you for two segments, so we'll get into the solar news again soon. But this is a good discussion. Inflation is always happens during the Republicans. And, you know, the reason why we had inflation during Biden's administration so far is that we've been gouged by the oil companies and all these other facets out there that don't have to do with job creation. You know, we'll never get paper towels, for instance, to the price they were pre-pandemic, because why would instead of $10 for a roll of eight, it's $20 for a roll of eight. That's manufactured inflation. You know, that's not what the president's doing. And then also, Haley, I as a Gen Zer, how many times have you ever been polled?
I don't think ever.
Right. So, I mean, there you have it. Who are they polling and how are they saying that this is so close because of all the things that will be reminded with women health care, becoming a second class citizen in this last Supreme Court and all these things that, you know, the American public has a short memory. But when we come up to if it's between Trump and Biden, we'll definitely be bringing this stuff up again and putting a light on it and reminding people, like you said, this is about democracy versus fascism.
Yeah. And Robert, I was just looking for one of the statistics, you know, that really points out exactly, you know, and I can't find it right now because I'm looking through my little snapshots, but, you know, it just from someone that does work with the federal government and works very closely with the Department of Energy because of, you know, the awards I've received from them. You know, when we first started our project, this was shortly right after President Biden took office. We were told by the Department of Energy, literally that the office was decimated. Like, there were just empty desks in the Department of Energy that they had to fill.
Right.
Because the previous administration decimated it and were so focused on, you know, just sending out permits, just, you know, blindly saying, yes, drill, drill, drill.
Right. He's saying it again.
And you know, they literally fired people with PhDs, lifelong.
Yes, I remember that.
Quotes that, you know, and so my project ended up getting started 90 days later, right? And then it took like extra 60 days after that. So, this is serious stuff, people. And you really have to get out and vote. And you really have to vote for climate champions. And we just got to send Biden back for another 4 years.
Absolutely. Hey, we're going to talk about solar news here with the solar bear, Bob Blake from Red Lake, in the next segment. But really good discussion. And we'll talk more. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Hey, if you're like a lot of people, you're probably relieved that the holiday celebrations are over. But there's one thing that might stay with us from the holidays besides all those gifts, and that's COVID-19. Numbers from COVID are going up as we spend more time inside. And Native Americans are seeing even bigger case spikes. With all the indoor celebrations over the holidays, you may have unknowingly been exposed to someone with COVID-19. That's why it's important to stay vigilant. If you notice any symptoms like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, take an at-home test. They're still free and can be ordered at sayyeshometest.org. If you do test positive, you're eligible for free treatment, and no health insurance is required. Visit health.state.mn.us to connect with providers and receive your treatment. Let's make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Life can be hard. Sometimes it feels like there's no answers, like there's no way out. Hennepin County's COPE Mobile Crisis Response is here to listen and help you find a way through whatever is going on in your life. Call 612-596-1223 for no-cost crisis support anytime, anywhere in Hennepin County. That number is 612-596-1223. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh! Ow. Wow, that was a trio of howls. That was good. That was real good. I like that. Hey, we're back with Bob Blake, Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we're having a little political discussion, which I think is awesome. We need to bring it up, and I just got to keep saying, Bob and Haley, we outnumber them. We just have to engage our get people signed up that are turning newly turned voting people and get them engaged, and that's win by another 10 million, 8 million votes.
Well, you know, Robert, like, you know, we talk about, you know, this situation right now, current political, right, kind of mm-hmm. space that we're in. And, you know, I want to remind people that, you know, climate change is real. It's happening. We have to do something about it. And one of the biggest emitters, and I don't think people really think about this, of greenhouse gas emissions, mm-hmm. is our armed forces.
Huh.
And there was a statistic that came out, and I can't remember it now, and I wish I had it but it was like a couple of years ago, and I saw the statistic that said that if the federal government did X amount on their buildings alone, it would take the equivalent of millions of vehicles off the road, plant, you know, millions of trees, blah, blah, blah. Robert, so taking action, our government taking action, right? I just want to remind people, you know, President Biden is moving on this. And this is the great story here coming here. The Pentagon will now install rooftop solar panels on their entire facility.
Wow.
We're looking, Robert, at, since you're 27 megawatts, that is huge. That is a lot of, That is a lot of solar. And I mean, I think it says a lot, right? Because the Pentagon is such a, you know, like one of those buildings, right? That I think we think of, you know, as like government, right? I mean, I know, like when I'm in Washington and I'm like cruising by, I'm like, oh, there's the Pentagon. You know what I mean? Like, like, you know, I'm Mr. Tourist Guy, you know? And so like, I think this is incredible because, you know, this really shows the Biden's administration's commitment to renewables, to our environment, to the planet. And now, I mean, think of this as the flagship and then, you know, how they're going to then start pursuing, you know, the rest of the buildings, you know, in the federal government and in the country. So I really love this story. I think it's awesome. It just real quickly, the Pentagon is one of 31 government sites. So there's going to be 31 to begin with. 31 to begin with, receiving $104 million in Energy Department grants, you know, to install 27 megawatts of clean energy capacity, while leveraging $361 million. So that those tax credits, those private investors are going after those tax credits from the federal government, while probably signing power purchase agreements, you know, with the Department of Energy. I don't know how they're working it, but I'm just saying that's probably what it sounds like to me. And I just think this is a great story, and kudos to the Biden administration for making this happen.
Absolutely. And it's interesting too, when you talk about the Biden administration, when you were talking, I was thinking what you said earlier about empty desks with getting rid of all the experts. The experts are back and working for Biden. It isn't like Biden's doing everything and, you know, has his pulse on everything. He's just got great people working for him. And I just wanted to throw that out there too, when it comes to talking about the age or whatever, like, you know, things like that. It's just, you know, he's got great people working for him.
Well, yeah. And I would point out too, that like, you know, for young people, Haley, your generation, your folks, right? Like you guys are the biggest, you know,
voting block
coming. I mean, this really, you know, affects your generation. And I mean, honestly, if I was in that block and I'm thinking about my future, I know who I would be going for. And, you know, someone that is like actually looking out for it.
Yeah, the future of the next generations, right? And to make sure that we have an Earth to have it, you know.
Exactly. Well,
the Earth will still be here. You might not be. And that's a thing too, to engage and not listen to all this negative things, because I think we get barraged in social media and the news. And I know Gen Zers don't listen to the news, but you know, all this false narrative all over social media and that nobody's checking on anymore freaks people out.
And you know, this kind of segues, Robert, into the next story, which is about the Wisconsin Senate, Robert, passes a pair of bills that would make it easier for private businesses to host charging stations all across the state and they can also access $80 million in federal construction aid. Now, the reason why this is important is because Wisconsin was one of the last holdout states, you know, among the 50 that was saying no to, you know, electric vehicles. And I think part of the situation, and I just did an interview for NPR, which is airing tomorrow on electric vehicles. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, I had talked about in that interview was, you know, one of the questions came to me was, well, people, you know, are worried about range anxiety. They're worried about that their car is going to stall. And it's like, and I use the analogy, well, and just from Minnesota, if you were going to Duluth and your car was at a quarter of a tank, would you stop at a gas station to fill up? It's not any different than, an electric vehicle. You know, if you were going to Duluth, you'd probably want to fill it up before you went, right?
Right.
It's the same concept, same idea. Here's the difference, Robert. We need the infrastructure. We need the infrastructure up. You know, there was a point in time where we didn't have all these service stations all over the place, gas stations all over the place. As a matter of fact, I was in St. Cloud the other day, and I seen two DC fast chargers just sitting to be installed at the Holiday station that I had stopped at.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's people is a perfect example of what needs to happen. We need to put the infrastructure up. So we need bills like this, and we need our politicians to understand the importance of why we need these charging stations up, so folks can feel comfortable that, you know, if they are going to say Madison, right, you know, they can say, oh, well, I can pull over to the side here and charge up, you know, in Beloit. I don't know. But I'm just using that as a as an example of just, you know, that we need to be able to have these all over the place.
Yeah, and that's exciting, and we need to, you know, I heard a funny thing, and I don't know if it was from you, but it was funny, the resistance between horses and cars back in, you know, the 1910s, that people really resist that, and I feel it's kind of the vibe right now, too, with renewable cars and batteries, and also that's exciting news for Wisconsin, because we got a lot of listeners in Wisconsin. And I know of a theater that could probably be turned into not only a charging station, but a battery station. We should talk about sometime, Bob, because I just have a question about that. So would you, if you had a battery station, would you be getting that from other sources, or would you have to have your own energy source like solar panels and wind?
Oh, well, I would love to, I would pair the battery station with a renewable energy collector like solar panels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a wind turbine, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To store the energy. So absolutely, you'd want some type of renewable energy source connected to it, so you could store the energy and then use it for later on, right?
When the price is up higher. Robert, thank you so much. Great conversation. As always, really good to see you, my friend. If you're listening to this show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote, and get your renewable energy going on your roof. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier now.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM, WFHR.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Congress averts a government shutdown by passing a funding deal, but it's only for the short term. CBS's Linda Kenyon reports.
On this vote, the yeas are 314, the nays are 108.
That was the vote in the House after the Senate passed the bill. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer was pleased.
No chaos, no spectacle, no shutdown.
Republican Representative Eli Crane said this is nothing to be proud of.
This funding is going to continue funding Biden's disastrous policies.
The bill funds government operations through early March, giving Congress time to pass a longer-term budget bill. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Snow and ice storms stretch across the country, leading to at least 60 deaths. The Weather Channel's Chris Warren says snow is headed to the Ohio Valley and Northeast.
Moving into Roanoke first thing in the morning and then into parts of the Mid-Atlantic by daybreak, even before daybreak. Could be a bit of a sloppy morning commute for some in the Northeast. And then the cold air is going to be set.